Welcome to SDI Encounters, a podcast from Spiritual Directors International. I'm Matt Whitney. Thank you so much for listening. I offer a heartfelt welcome to new listeners and a welcome back to existing subscribers. If you like this show, please do click on the subscribe button. Here we offer a wide range of perspectives, stories, and conversations centered around community, spiritual companionship, and spiritual care. You'll find additional information, including videos, webinars, and digital publications at our website, sdiworld.org. Support for this podcast comes from Seeking Connection Across Generations, Spiritual Directors International's annual gathering of spiritual companions happening in Bellevue, Washington, March 14th through March 17th, 2019. Be spiritually replenished by a variety of spiritual leaders and participate in workshops to nourish the mind, body, and soul. Experience a community of integrity and celebrate our global contemplative calling. Learn more at our website, www.sdievents.org. Come as you are, but come ready for transformation. Here's part three of our staff conversation with the Executive Director of SDI, Reverend Sefu Anil Singh Mularis. If you've been following along from the past two episodes, we're grateful and hope that you're learning some things not just about SDI, but about yourself as a spiritual seeker and how you can be a spiritual companion to others. This is my favorite part of the conversation, as we discuss the essence of contemplative practice, which we have found to be a practice most spiritual companions share, and how out of silence we discover that it is love that animates us, and that this discovery of divine love compels us into action and service to the world.
One thing we haven't talked about is, or not explicitly, we have talked about it implicitly when we talked about mysticism, is the importance of contemplation. Mm-hmm. The importance of being quiet and listening and immersing ourselves and, you know, as you said, either meditation or prayer or however that unfurls, but one of the basic ingredients of being a spiritual companion and spiritual director is that contemplative practice, because that's kind of rooting yourself deep in the well, right? In the well of the universe, and allowing it to flow through us, back to the instrument, to let that breath play us in a way that resonates with others. Mm. And so contemplative practice, this is a community of contemplative activists, and that concept of contemplative activism, I think, is central to, probably was central to the vision of SDI, but is particularly central to the vision of SDI now, that's emerging now, is that marriage between contemplation and action. And I like to call it contemplative activism. Mm-hmm. And so both of those are important, yeah, because one flows from the other.
I hope you all have another hour and a half, because here we go. Distill contemplation. What is contemplation?
Contemplation is deep listening. And not just listening with our ears, listening with our eyes, listening with our nose, listening with our sense of touch and our sense of all of our senses. You know, we in Zen we talk about listening with every pore of our body to the universe, being open and receptive to everything that we learn to filter and to shut out, just opening ourselves up completely, being naked, walking naked.
Literally.
Yeah. I mean, walking naked, probably literally and figuratively, I'm sorry, and metaphorically as well, but just being open and vulnerable and listening for, you know, the stillness, the imminence, the mystical wellspring of the universe.
How do I know when I've heard that?
Oh, you'll know. There's no denying it when it happens. It's so powerful. It's palpable. It's there's no way to ignore it. There's no way to ignore it. I think we've all experienced it. I mean, every human being, thank God, has that ability, and we all experience it at various times in our lives. Sometimes it can be long stretches between having experienced it and experiencing it again. But it just kind of overtakes you and permeates you and pervades you, informs and enlightens and empowers. It's we're talking about like diving into a pool of love, right? It's, you can feel it, you can experience it, and it's just like a heightened sense of awareness, a heightened sensitivity to everything. It's like looking at the stars and going, ah, there I am, you know, way, way up there. That's me over there. That I'm speaking words here, but I think if I were to go around the room, you could probably all talk about times in your lives where you experienced something so profound that it moved you and shook you to your core. So that's what we try to do. That's the contemplative part.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to be just sitting lotus.
Oh, no, no.
Quiet in a room by yourself.
No, although, you know, that kind of stillness can be very helpful and probably is very helpful to most people, not to all people. You know, some people find themselves in the whirl of movement and dancing and spinning. But even then, the moment of silence kind of informs the moment of the movement as well. Everybody experiences it slightly differently. I can't remember which theologian said, you know, there's not five world religions, right? There's, how many people are there on the planet? Like 7.5 billion people. There's 7.5 billion religions.
Yeah.
7.5 billion different ways to experience the universe at any time. And so everybody has their own unique calibration and sensitivity, and we're so incredibly complex beings that even one slight little variant, you know, changes the whole chemistry of our being.
Mm-hmm. So you paint a nice picture of the contemplative moment and the mystical experience being rooted in silence, but manifesting in a myriad of ways. Make the connection from that to the activist. Mm-hmm. So you use the term contemplative activist.
Yeah, and that part is a little harder, because the contemplative part is, for many of our members, is easy, because many of us are introverts and many of us like quiet and silence and prayer and meditation. And it's harder to make that leap from that to, what do I do with that? How am I meant to, you know, what's mine to do? That question that everybody's always asking, what's mine to do? How do I express that gift, that blessing that I've received? And I think that's the one area that we are, that SDI is growing into, which is, what does it mean to be a contemplative activist? And it's not the same. It's not one size fits all. It's, everybody has a different way that they're going to express what is theirs to do. It could be, you know, for some people it's demonstrating, and some people it's the traditional notion of a social activist, someone who's agitating or who's kind of pushing or working to change laws or to change societal norms or to help the poor and the marginalized or the disadvantaged. But it's also, it can be, you know, quote unquote, little things. It can be about resolving to smile at everybody today, or to the next time you feel anger, you know, coming upon you, to be still for a moment, to catch your breath before you act, or to not act and just say, I'm going to walk away from this anger for a day or for a moment. So there's different ways to express it. And I think that's part of the challenge, is that we're so set in stone in some ways that we say, well, contemplation means sitting for lotus, and activism means, you know, demonstrating and tying ourselves up against, chaining ourselves to a fence by a nuclear power plant or whatever the issue might be. And it's actually lots of different things on, it's a continuum. Yeah, and it's going to vary by, from person to person, but I think there is, being contemplative brings us closer to the essential force and meaning of the universe, which is love, which I believe is love, then by definition, love needs to be shared and needs to be deployed as a redemptive force to help others. Right, not just to help ourselves, but to help others.
Yeah,
and so that's the activist part. Is if you are lucky enough to experience that love, then you're gonna want to share it, or you're gonna want others to be able to experience the redemptive power of that love as well. And so I think that's what we're, as a community, we're fostering. And I can't believe that I didn't hit on the word love until now in our conversation, but I'm glad that we did, because that's really kind of what we're going for, is the redemptive power of love. Mm-hmm.
And so you believe that contemplative practice leads us to this larger understanding and embrace of and within love. Yeah. And that connection moves us into loving that which is around us, mm-hmm. others, practicing compassion, yeah. seeing suffering, feeling compelled to do things about it.
Yeah.
That's the crux.
Yeah, that's right. That's well said. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. The power of the love compels us. The power of love compels us to act. Mm. And we can experience that love contemplatively. By tapping into that larger force of the universe. And as soon as we do, it kind of, you know, it slaps us in the face and goes, hey, you know, there are people suffering out there. There's people struggling. There's injustice and there's hatred and there's bigotry and, you know, can't let that stand.
The power of love is a curious thing.
I mean, I don't mean to sound trite, but you know, it's true. The more you dig, the more you dig, and then finally, after just speaking for myself, after spending a couple of decades as a philosopher and a theologian and kind of exploring and digging and academic studies and all of this stuff, it's just, I can't explain it anymore. I thought I could, but I can't anymore, but I know it's there. I know it's there. And so, and I know it's meant to be shared.
Hmm. What are the ways that you see our SDI community demonstrating love?
Well, we care for each other and we care for the people who come to us. We want to extend that invitation more broadly, and we want to give people the tools. So many people are lost and they're unhappy and sad and forlorn. And so our community wants to invite them in and wants to help them heal, right? We're a community of healers is another way. And every good healer knows that in order to heal yourself, you need to heal others.
Ooh.
and or help heal others, and that the way to heal yourself is to heal others. And so that's another way to look at our community, is to say we're a community of healers, mm-hmm. or aspiring healers at least.
The other thing contemplation does is it helps you understand how you want to act in the world. I think it's pretty fundamental to the way you act, because it's about knowing yourself. And if you can drop down into that place, someone other than me, I'm just a baby when it comes to contemplation. I'm just the opposite of Anil, of Sefu, because I've only come to it in recent years. But if you just think about what breaks your heart when you look at, and there's lots of things that can break your heart or do break your heart, but what really hits you deep down, that's also a gateway that when you're contemplating, and that could just be stillness, right? You could chant, you don't have to, you can meditate, you can pray, whatever gets you there. Or maybe you just say, I'm inviting you stillness, just for one breath. And you do it every day. That would be something to build on. And I just would guess that everybody who does that genuinely will start to hear things from themselves deep within. I'm talking about intuition here. I'm not talking about anything from the ego or rational head that will let them know. And if they just ask that question, what's breaking my heart? What's breaking my heart? And it might be that they're orphans that don't have anybody to care for them. That gets me every time. A kid who doesn't have somebody to care for them and protect them and nurture them. That always affects me. And so what is that saying about me? And what does it say about how I want to be in the world? And then it's obvious for me, even as a baby, when it comes to contemplation, that this is the essential first step before I take actions. Because otherwise, actions might be driven by ego, fear, greed, whatever it is that isn't so great. And I know it's not that great. But if I'm deep down thinking about what really matters, then my actions can be measured by my intention and my aspiration. And that's where the love can really come in. And then it doesn't matter if we do it perfectly or not, because we can constantly realign to what we know feels right deep within. And if it feels right deep within, it's kind of unassailable from all these other things that can get you, including real physical problems, because it's coming from someplace that is spiritual, which is why that first word in our name is so important. We are about the spirit, the deepest part of what it means to be human, to be part of this planet. Mm-hmm. And so they're intricately connected. And therefore, it's so exciting for anyone to just start on that journey and start to ask the question, what breaks my heart? What really lifts me? What do I care about no matter what? And not try and come up with a ready answer, but let it arise.
You make it sound like spirituality is not some other abstract thing, that spirituality is just the real, just what is here, right now.
I think it's like a doorway, right? You got to open the door if you want to see it, but it's there. And if you're curious, you might want to open it. Maybe it's going to be nothing for you, whatever. I can't tell you what your experience is going to be, but for me, and I come to this as someone who's spiritual but not religious, so I don't have something to build on. I just have this sense of things, like how I feel around my kids, how I feel when I'm in nature. Looking at a tree can be quite a spiritual experience. Try just looking up at the top of it. Yeah. See how you feel. Just, you know, do some tests with everyday things. Put your hand in front of your face and feel that warm breath coming out. That's pretty mind-blowing. I'm an enthusiastic kind of person. I'm not suggesting everyone will feel the way I do. But I think if you start in that curious way, you can discover some amazing things. And that sense of discovery is also contemplation to me. Hmm. Because we're tapping into what we don't know, what we're not sure of. You know, oh, better deals on Black Friday. Better go check the internet. You know, because everyone says that.
Yeah.
It's so deep and wonderful, and I find it actually comforting that I can't fathom it. It's like the sky, the night sky. It's comforting that it's infinite to me.
I also hear gratitude from you, even enthusiasm, but gratitude, right? breathing on my hand and feeling the warm breath and the moisture.
Yeah.
And like that, you know, and we all sort of giggle like, well, who cares about that? Like I do that all the time. But there's, you're experiencing that differently.
Well, I think it's, again, it's like the doorway or window. Do I want to look out that window? I don't have to. I'm a great believer in free will and love. And I think you use the first to choose the second. And if you can do that, you're sweet. Not because everything's going to be good, but you'll always be in a place of meaning. And so gratitude is just an easy practice for me. I also like the idea of practice. And that's one of the things that our spiritual companions bring is this deep sense of practice in their lives, prayer, meditation, whatever it is that they do regularly. Because playing the piano, shooting free throws, learning to use your Jinsu knives at home, whatever it is, you do it a lot, you're going to get better at it. Contemplation's the same way. Gratitude's the same way. And then you start to reap what comes when you start to grow on something. Sefu knows this from all these hours he spends meditating. You can just imagine what that means for him spiritually. But I think anybody can access that. And part of that's just a choice.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think back to where you know, we always look, is there life out there? No, there's life right here, you know, and there's, we've only begun to understand the complexity, the enormous complexity of us as beings and what we're capable of and really how astonishing that is. You know, and this is, you'll see this at a Zen center on the Zen retreat about day six when people are just so ragged and tired and they've been meditating and they go, wow, look at my hand, you know. or whatever they're looking at is just like, oh, wow, look at that, you know. But that's kind of like the child. And I see it. I've got a nephew and a niece. I have six children, but there's a two twin three-year-olds, and it's the same thing. We've all seen it in children where they go, oh, wow. Well, the first time they see snow, you know, it's like, oh, wow. And you go, oh, yeah, that is really cool. You
know? Yeah.
So that sense of awe, I think awe is part of the menu of ingredients here.
Well, it comes back to the concept of the mountaintop and how someone else is experiencing it for the first time, and a spiritual director or companion is able to re-experience that for themselves.
Yeah. I think that's right. That's a good analogy for the intergenerational thing. It's we talked about it earlier, but it's like that first experience of snow. And when you see a child experiencing snow for the first time, you re-experience it as if it were the first time for you too. And that's really kind of what we're going for as a community.
Try to find a quiet place this week and practice stillness. Sit comfortably in an upright posture and simply breathe. If your mind wanders, that's okay. Just gently come back to focusing on the breathing. I have two questions for us to consider, either in silence or in a journal, or in discussion with a spiritual companion. Find these answers for yourself and name them as they are made manifest to you in your own still spaces. What brings deep joy to your life? And what breaks your heart? This is Matt Whitney with Spiritual Directors International. Thanks again for listening. Your time and your presence here are deeply appreciated. If you liked this show and would like us to continue making them, please do subscribe now while it's fresh on your mind. Also, we would love to hear from you, so please feel free to send in your comments and suggestions to the email address podcast@sdiworld.org. To learn more about spiritual companionship and ways that you can plug in and join our community, visit us at our website at www.sdiworld.org. Thank you. Blessings and peace on your day. And may you share blessings and peace to others.